Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief book club. We might laugh or we might cry, but we always read.
This is a book club where we might make ourselves cry, but sometimes we might read books that make us laugh or just have fun. We are announcing our next book in our book club. Woo-hoo! And this is my choice. And you're obviously going to see, I feel like, a big difference between... Maybe not, big might be a big word. But there's a difference in our styles of reading about grief. So without further ado, my choice is A Beach Read by Emily Henry. And this book is a fictional book story that also has grief themes in it. And I feel like those are the books that I've been drawn to more than real stories or books like on how to deal with grief. Mm-hmm. I like reading stories about people living their life and how grief has impacted it and kind of how they deal with it in a fictional way.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
Fun. It's a fun book so far.
And I also, I just always love a good like love story. You got to have the happy moments and the joy when you can. And I love a good meet cute love story. So this one's going to be a lot more upbeat. Hopefully less tears, but it's still
fingers crossed.
We'll see. Definitely a much lighter read for those who read Crying in H Mart and watched our episodes. I definitely cried like deep pitted tears, sadness from that book, but it was great. But yeah, it definitely was a tearjerker, brought me all these different emotions, and I think this will do that less because it also has like happy, fun elements as well.
Yeah, I've liked it so far. I love the balance, and I love the main character. She definitely has main character energy, and do you want to dive into chapter one?
Yeah, I mean, chapter one opens up with basically her life imploded, and I think one line that really, I feel like people that are grieving can really relate to is that she's kind of like picturing like taking the first step into this cabin. And it's a cabin that basically she inherited from her dad that she didn't know existed because her dad had a mistress. And she found that out like after he passed away. So she's like a very dramatic, like, I'm going to open this cabin up and the world is going to end. But then there's a quote that she said, that already happened last year and it didn't kill you, so neither will this. And I feel like that's super relatable because I think with grief, you kind of almost get this doomsday type. You could like spiral sometimes, like for everything's bad, everything sucks. And it just felt like a very relatable line. Like, you got through it, stop making it a worse thing than it's going to be. And I think when you're grieving, that just is like a really easy thing to do, that you make situations seem like they're going to be worse than they are sometimes, or like a hard thing, it's like you've already gone through the hardest thing, so like you can get through it. So I thought that line was just so real to me.
I think about, you know, when I'm going through hard things in life and I'm like, but it can't be that hard because you've already done the hardest thing. You've already heard the worst thing you could ever hear. You've already had to experience the saddest thing. Like, everything else pales in comparison. And so I do like the same thing where I'm like, but like, it's bad, but it can't be as bad as what you've already had to go through.
Yeah. Sometimes you also like need that reality check of like, I've been through hard things. I can keep doing it. Hopefully life doesn't throw you more hard things like continually. Don't follow in my footsteps. I definitely felt it was a very dramatic opening of like, okay, the world sucks. And another line that she mentions in there is like just when her mom told her like, he's gone, Janie. And I feel like everyone that's lost someone, there's that moment where you're there and you experience it, or you get the phone call, the text, whatever. And there's nothing like that feeling of confirming like they're gone. I think that is such a gut-wrenching feeling. And just like kind of that like one line was like, oh, that's a heartbreaking line. And I don't think you really understand it unless you've experienced grief, just like three words, like, he's gone, Janie. It was like such a hard sentence.
Yeah.
If you've heard it. I don't know if you caught that when I know you're listening it through audiobook. I don't know if you caught that line.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up because it you definitely like kind of fly through it when you're listening to it, but you're bringing it up and I'm like, yeah, that is such an important moment, because I think every griever listening right now has those words that they heard, whether they were there in person or whether they heard it over the phone on the moment they found out that they lost a loved one. And it mine was a phone call from like I think the EMT, and it's just so it's funny how like these little words are so catastrophic in yeah. destroying your life, because immediately I'm tears and then I'm like, what do I do? Like, I, yeah. what do you do next? And I'm pretty sure a lot of people were in that same situation of like, that's the pivot. That's the moment where in your life, there's like the before that, and then there's the after that.
Yeah. And another thing that I feel like the first chapter really kind of goes through well is her talking about like, I don't think she straight out says she's lonely, but it just really describes loneliness. Like yeah. she's on the outs with her mom, someone she was really close to before, and they're not really speaking. And she only kind of mentions one really close friend that's not in close proximity to her. I mean, she's like a few hours away, but just like not easy to see.
The pressures from work that she's under, there's a lot of like yeah. deadlines in her future.
And it just seems like you can, from just like the opening, you can feel like there's just a lot of loneliness mm-hmm. and kind of feeling alone in her grief. And I think we've talked about so many times, you hear other people talking about like grief feels so lonely.
Yeah.
And you feel so isolated from like the world that you left when they left. It's like you don't even know how to re-enter the world and feel the same. And sometimes you don't feel the same about just even the people that were in your life, because it's just a weird disconnect of like yeah. My world has totally changed. I don't even know how to have these conversations anymore. Just be normal. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely kind of connected to just the loneliness. I just like it to me, it just felt really lonely. Like her life felt really lonely yeah. at the time. So when there's kind of like the little step of like meet cute with her grumpy neighbor, I was like, yeah, like the nice, like having that. And like that's, I think I've talked about before in like episodes where I was like, yeah, all this is going to lead me to like the man of my dream, you know, kind of yeah. thing. And so in this book, it seems like it's happening, but
yeah,
has not happened in real life. But it's a nice thought that like, yes, I'm going to meet cute neighbor next door. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate it. I like that this is an undertone to the novel. You know, obviously the main plot is between her and her arch nemesis and their writing careers, and then you have like the subplot of like her reckoning her grief around her dad. And I like that it's a complicated relationship, and it's not complicated in the way we read about it in Crying in H Mart, where it was active complication. This is retroactive complication, in that she's learning things about her father that doesn't align with how she saw him when he was alive. And I appreciate that that's a motif added into the story, because I feel like a lot of people relate to that, where you find out more things about the person than you think you knew about them when they were alive. And in this case, it was a cabin and a mistress. it was really quite hard a thing. Talk. Yeah. And so she's having to like readjust how she thought about her dad, and then being like, but I still love him, even though this is a very complicated situation. This is obviously a situation she doesn't want to be in, but it's a reality, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah. And then in chapter two, it enters with like, there was a line where she basically says she no longer believes in happily ever after her dad's funeral. And she was like a romance writer. Mm-hmm. So not believing in that is really hard when you're supposed to be writing these beautiful stories for people to read and, you know, fall in love with. So, and I definitely relate to that. I think she goes into it more about it being because that's when she found out that her dad had a mistress and there's this yeah. cabin and all this stuff. And she found out her mom knew. So like, I feel like her whole world view imploded, mm-hmm. which I feel like is kind of a common theme, like with just the grief in general. It's like when you lose someone, you know, the fallout, but this is obviously a more dramaful explosion with a lot of information to get at your dad's funeral.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've talked about before, just kind of like even having the idea of thinking like happily ever after when you're dealing with grief, and just like yeah. how unrealistic it can be. Because that's not real life. Like, it's not right. real life. And unfortunately, yeah.
I like that she's You know, and this is, I'm going to say this, and people are going to be listening and be like, I know Kendall, and this is, she's the biggest gripe. I would say a couple years ago, I was that type of reader who was like anti-romance. Why was I? I don't know. I guess like I thought I was so superior and I was kind of pretentious about it. But it took the grief of my dad for me to like realize that romance books and like just fun pop music and just like fun girly things like you don't have to look down on. And for some reason, like that was very pivotal to me, because now I totally appreciate and I respect the romance genre and there's like a place for it. And I get it. It's such an escape from the reality of the lives we're living. And so I like that that's a undertone or a conversation that she's having with herself, but also like justifying her as a romance writer is like she's also trying to combat this like gender stereotype of like, oh, only women read romance books and they all end in happily ever after. But she is even having this inner like complex conversation with herself of like, this is more than just romance. Like this is more than just women reading love stories. Like there's a place for this and it's for good intent and it's for escapism. And that's still such a positive, you know, piece of art that you put out into the world.
Yeah. And also I think Emily Henry does a good job of her romance books aren't so cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Like they have obviously the romance elements, but they do have like, I think there's a few books that touch on death or I'm like, I was not expecting this book, especially Beach Read. I was expecting it to be a totally like just fun romance, meet on the beach type book.
Right.
I was not expecting it to take this path. So she does a great job of kind of just intertwining the stories and just kind of, you know, grief is a theme in it, but it's not necessarily the only thing going on. But in chapter two, they mentioned like her mom got chemo, her mom got better, and then her dad dies. And it's kind of like, boom, and like something happens that you're not expecting. And you're like, oh, yeah. This happy thing is like good. Her mom's better, beat cancer. And then her dad just dies. And I totally relate to that. Just like when my sister, one, it kept going for a while, but my sister got sick and she was in a coma and she got better. She was getting better. And then my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay. And then my sister was doing better. And then she passed away. And then my mom got cancer. And then she passed away. So there's a lot of those elements where you're like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, something is like, and there was positives in between and positive right. things I looked, you know, that are happening. But it is hard when it's like, oh, these, you think that things have turned around and then they really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that in her book where she like mentioned that. And I was like, yeah, sometimes just bad shit topples onto bad shit.
Yes. Yeah, I think like that's what I learned too with everything with my dad was thinking like the pacing of things like, oh, okay, so I had all this bad stuff with my dad, but like he's getting better. And so like I'm going to have some time before the next bad thing happens. But the reality is, and I think like a lot of people experience this, is like there's no, sometimes there is no break period where you can like recover emotionally. Sometimes it is like literally just bad shit topped onto bad shit. And you're like, when do I get a breather? Like, when does this slow down?
Yeah, this is not fair. And a line that made me laugh in there is like, she basically referred to herself as a crotchety grandma, like old grandma, because she was getting grumpy because there was a part where her next door neighbor is like having a party and it's loud music and she's like drinking and she's like, I want to go to sleep. And he's like, basically he was telling her like, this is a vacation spot. It's summer. It's a weekend. Like, can you not be so grumpy? Basically telling her not to be so like that neighbor. And she realizes, well, like, yeah, I'm in a crotchety old grandma. My dad died. He had a mistress. And like now I'm in their sex house. Like, it's just like one of those things where you're like, okay, I get it. Like there's so much going on that she's just like, I don't know like how long I've been this person. But I feel like a lot of people that are grieving can kind of relate to just being this like feeling like this old grumpy person sometimes that like doesn't like anything because sometimes everything feels bad. And that's fair.
And I don't know if it was in chapter two or chapter three, but one, I don't know if it was a line she said or just like the concept she was talking about, saying that it was hard to be her to be angry with someone that you can't fight with because she was so mad at her dad and everything going on. And then she's like, but he's dead and I can't. She's like, that's even worse to like be mad at someone that you can't have a response from. And I think like I felt that way. I think a lot of people will feel that way. It's like you have this residual anger, but it can't be resolved because the person you need to talk to about it isn't there to be spoken with, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's really hard because I think it's hard to resolve those feelings because like there's so many questions that you want to be at, like you right. want to answer. You can't ask someone back and forth, like all the things you need to know. And especially like something like that, that's such a bomb of information mm-hmm. that's like that's really hard to deal with. I feel like the last line that really called out to me in the book was after her and her neighbor, like love interest, future potential love interest, were like kind of going back and forth about his party. She didn't even say it to him. She just kind of said, I'm so tired. And she just kind of exhaled and was like, I'm so tired. And he immediately was like, I'll tell them to turn off the music. He sensed the type of I'm tired, you know, I'm so tired yeah. feeling. And he was like, okay, he made the party stop. And I feel like that's such a relatable feeling. And even just like those words are just saying like, I'm so tired. Yeah. It's like grief is really overwhelming. Dealing with everything is overwhelming. Like there's so many things you have to be doing to just be like a functioning human being when you lose yeah. people. And sometimes you're just like, I'm so tired. Like I feel like I have to do 10 times more things than someone else that's just living life with all their people, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really hard. I don't think we get enough credit for just living
yeah.
in a world with other people we love. And I really related to that of just like, I'm so tired. Like, yeah, sometimes yeah. you're just freaking tired and you don't want to deal with everything, but you have to, like you really yeah. have to. And it's just to keep moving, you know, it's like you don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, knock on wood, like you don't make, you're not in that bad of a mental state or anything, but yeah, otherwise please get help. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a really hard just feeling to be like, it just is tiring to deal with it.
Yeah, it's and like then, an emotional exhaustion or like a mental exhaustion.
Yeah, you're just tired. It's like life can be really difficult sometimes and you just need to figure out the best way for you to deal with that, still feel happy. Yeah. And that's different for everyone. The things in like chapter 3 that stood out to me was her talking about she moved to New York City with her boyfriend. And her dad was really like, go do it, go move. And she didn't want to miss any moments with her mom. And I think that's a hard thing, like not being near your loved ones when they're sick.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to it's hard. You just don't know what the right, like what is the right decision, right? Because it's like, do you put your life on pause forever? Do you keep going and hope for the best and just, you know, keep in contact, visit? Like there, it's really hard to figure out like what is the best thing in those situations. And I liked how that got brought up and kind of her internal struggle with that, but her dad really pushing for her to do that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that like Emily Henry incorporates not like a flashback structure when we're looking back at the past of what was her name again?
Who?
What's the main character's name?
I don't even know her. It's Janie. Is that her mom calls her? But
Jane?
I think it might be Jane.
Okay, good.
I know it's Gus.
Yeah, we know Augustus.
January.
January. Okay, yes, because there's a whole thing about being born. Yeah, okay.
Well, sometimes it's like when it's
read it.
Well, sometimes it's like in first person, so it's like yeah.
What's her name?
Yeah, you don't like her name isn't like on repeat. Like it does yeah. come up, but it's not on repeat, which I think is funny because at the end of chapter 3, like she meets she bumps into her neighbor, which she realizes is her old college crush slash mm-hmm. like nemesis. And she talks about like he didn't remember me. My name is January. It's not like it's something you forget. Like yeah. it's not a right name. And we're both like, what's her name?
Whoops. Maybe it is a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it's a little forgettable. Just kidding.
I forgot what I was saying.
Well, I do remember one other thing that I well, there's two things I remember for chapter three that I thought of. Was I don't remember in the context, but she just said, like, sometimes I just miss liking people.
Mm.
And I think it's when she went to the bookstore, like, coffee shop, yeah. And, like, people are, like, talking to her and being friendly, and she just was, like, not in the mood. Plus, I think she's a little hungover, but she was, like, not in the mood to be friendly and cheery and do all the things that she wanted to do. Like, she would say, like, her manager or someone would be like, you should go in there and, like, check if they have your book and talk to them and all the stuff. And she's, like, playing that in her head, but she's, just, like, talking about how sometimes she just misses liking people. And I think that's a very relatable feeling where sometimes you just – I think it's more in your head
mm-hmm.
than in reality, where sometimes you just feel like you don't like anybody or no one's going to get it, or, you know, I think it's easy to kind of go down that route. And I think it's more so – kind of a protecting yourself than the reality of you not actually liking people.
Right.
Yeah. Although some people, sometimes you just be grumpy and you don't, like, you take that on everyone else. So I think that can be true too. But I think that's a very relatable feeling of, like, sometimes you just, you know, especially, like, very soon after, it's like you can be mm-hmm. very grumpy with people, very reactive, and everyone pisses you off no matter what they do.
Yeah.
So I think that was also a relatable line where I just was like, yeah, that's true. That happens. Yeah.
I noticed that myself. Like, Texas is a very friendly state and everybody's always waving and smiling, and, like, it's just, like, over the top with it, with their friendliness. Not in a bad way, but when yeah. you are grieving, and especially right after, I was not, it felt like such work to be kind to other people. Like, I was going to the grocery store with my sunglasses on and I was like, nobody needs to talk to me. I don't need to talk to anybody else. Like, I can self-check out, you know,
yeah.
like, this is an independent mission. I don't need to make eye contact, nothing. Like, completely trying to just.
Aren't you, like, 6 feet tall or, like,
yeah.
close to?
Yeah. I know.
Like, no offense. I don't think you're someone that, like, just blends in. Like, no. You can just walk in. That's
not really, no. Yeah, but I mean, especially, like, I would say right after, and you are crying over everything.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it like salsa, and you're like, I remember when I'd eat salsa with my dad. It was like, my hair was bad.
Yeah.
I'm in sweats. I'm wearing sunglasses. I'm like, I don't yeah. want any attention on me.
Yeah, everything can piss you off, make you cry.
Right.
Like, you just don't know. But I did like the end of just, like, the awkwardness in this chapter of, like, she bumps into him and she, like, ducks behind some books
yeah.
and she doesn't know what to do and she realizes it. And I think it's always nice to think about kind of, like, the first crushes, the first
mm-hmm.
things. I think why people really like the idea of, like, first crushes, first love type things is, like, it just seems so simple because
yeah.
it's, like, I think half the time it's not, like, realized. You don't actually – nothing really happens with it. It's just, like, that feeling of first – feel like first crush feelings
yeah.
So I feel like I always get, like, giddy with these, like, oh, this is so cute like
yeah.
little happy moments. And I chapter four opens with her being like, you know, they were called rivals, but, like, he didn't even know that they were because she was just, like, rivaling against him and she didn't think he even, like, noticed her. And she's like, he hated me, he thought my stories were too happy. And he worked at, like, a cemetery or something at one point.
Quintessential bad boy.
Yeah. Like, mysterious bad boy. You don't know why he's there, but he's just, like, an amazingly talented writer.
Yeah.
And
she's writing romance novels.
Yeah.
He's writing, like, Hemingway-type novels.
Yeah. And, it's interestingly, like, how that feeling of just, like, having a crush on someone, you keep bumping mm-hmm. into them and maybe having that. And I think they always have, like, they also have, like, good banter, which I think is always nice to have with someone, of, like, quick-witted and having that. I think that's always fun. And I remember, like, she's pretended he didn't remember. It was unclear if he remembered her from her, like, understanding. And then so she pretended she didn't know him. So I think that's going to be interesting to go to the next chapters to see how that plays out. And then another element that kind of just, like, the start of it is, like, she just was drinking a lot because she was sad. And he even brought it up, like, why are you drinking so much? like what's going on. Cause I think he's like, you're the cheery person, so why are you drinking? Which I think is relatable. I think you can often like drink too much or do other things when you're sad and grieving. You're just like, sure. just take the edge off. And yeah, I think that can be like a slippery slope. I think we talked about that a little bit, just like you can easily get into that. And so just another, like, I feel like relatable theme in the book as well. And so the last chapter that we're going to talk about is chapter 5. We're going to be doing 5 chapters at a time. And this chapter, I think some elements where she's talking about like having a hard time. Her publicist or manager is like hounding her, like, when you get these chapters, finish your book. And she wants to take a break, but she like can't afford it. She needs to sell the house for money, like her dad's cottage. She just has not been able to write books, which is her source of income, because she writes romance books and she can't bring herself to write anything happy. And I think that's relatable. It's like, if you want to break down, it's really hard to do that if you have to like pay bills and be in, you know, be independent. It's really much, it's like a luxury to be able to just break down, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, like I think it's good that she brought that up in this book, of like, she wants to break down, she wants to just, you know, give into her feelings, but she can't because she needs to make money and she needs to have a book by the end of the summer in order to like keep her publicist and like keep all of her potential income going.
Yeah. And I think that's like such a true reality to, you know, I know you and I, we talk a lot about like the bereavement leave and everything. And that like 3 days, you know, isn't even enough for the whole process. And like, there is a larger conversation here of like, it's a luxury to be able to take time off of work so you can like have the time to process and get your life in order. And if you're someone like in charge of an estate, that's so much extra work. That's like a part-time job.
Yeah. And,
you know, some people do have that privilege to take that time off and be able to focus purely on grieving and all like the extra work you have to do with that. But the reality is a lot of people can't, you know, like, people can't take time off of work, and you have to continue like doing the job while grieving. And then on top of that, if you're doing other stuff for the passing of somebody, then this extra part-time job that you somehow just assumed and you're not getting paid for, like it's a lot to put on someone's plate, like especially all of a sudden when you're like, how can one person do that?
Yeah, it's really hard. And yeah, it's interesting because I know I've looked up if Emily Henry, I don't think she, at least not I know of, like, she hasn't experienced grief. So she either does, like, really good research or something, because I feel like in the books that she does talk about it, I feel like it's super relatable in so many ways. And so it's just interesting to me how well she writes it for not experiencing it. So just, like, always a note with Emily Henry books is they're deeper than you think when you think of, like, romance books. I think something also nice is – not nice, but, like, in the book, that's something she relates to. She sees – she's having a hard time writing, and then she sees across her to the next cabin where Gus lives. And he's kind of pacing and doing the same thing. And she's like, oh, I'm not alone. He also – even though he, in her mind, is, like, more successful of a writer, he is still having the same hard time writing a book as well. So I think it's nice to like kind of their initial connection and those little tidbits in there. And then I don't think you mentioned it, but at the book at the bookstore, which we're both big fans of bookstores, she mentions about like doing a community event, and then she gets invited to do like a book club, which is what we're doing here. And the chapter ends with basically her attending there, and then boom, her like the last person she gets introduced to is her dad's mistress, and the chapter ends. And it just ends there. Like, she meets the mistress. I think her name was Sonia, and ends the chapter. So yeah, cliffhanger. That's a big cliffhanger. It's, you wouldn't expect to see her there,
right? At book club of all places,
supposed to be your happy place. Like, books are supposed to be your happy place, like your refuge, your getaway. So big bummer to see your dad's mistress there. And so yeah, it's interesting to see kind of like how that plays out, their relationship, Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm gonna, you know, for Gus, I do love a good like reconnecting love story. So already I feel like I'm a lot more cheery because there's like fun, cute elements to look forward to instead of just gut wrenching things.
Yeah.
Which are hard. You're like, okay, this is just very real. So it's nice. We're going to rotate our choices around. And our next chapters are going to be 6 through 10. Six through 10. And we're going to go through those. And hopefully some more juicy stuff happens because I'm a big Gus fan.
I'm in it. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm making Kendall read happier grief books.
Girl, get out of your own head. No, I'm really liking it so far. And it's a fun little meet cute. And I'm really liking the main character. Like so much of romance, I think the ones that I like, has a strong main character. And she is strong. She's opinionated. And I really like that when you have a really strong character with agency.
Yeah, I definitely do not like the like helpless feeling where like you could do that. Like just you can handle it. Something. You're independent. So please join us on this journey if you've read the book before, if you haven't read it and you want to read a more fun grief book or book fiction book with some grief elements, definitely recommend joining us for Emily Henry, The Beach Read. We are going to releasing episodes every Monday on reading our thoughts on it, kind of how we relate to it. And it's just been a fun thing. We've had people that are joining along, buying the books. And yeah, it's always, I feel like it's another connecting piece that makes you think about grief in a different way.
For sure. I 100% agree.
And yes, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Two Girls with Grief Pod. And if you have any questions, book suggestions, email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com.
Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye.